Welcome to Messianic Perspective with Deacon Joy Silverman. Join Deacon Joy as they minister in song and in the Word. Now get ready to worship the Lord with the Silvermans.
Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be with you. My name is Deke Silverman. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. My father's family are Orthodox Jewish people from Russia. My mother's family was from Ireland. They have Jewish roots. I never heard the phrase born again till I was 20 years old, but I'm so glad somebody told me that Jesus could be Lord of my life. Yeshua in Hebrew. Glory to God. I travel with my wife full time. We do the messianic music. When I preach, I bring out the Hebraic roots of the Word of God. Glory to God. And I'm going to start off with one of our songs. My wife would be here with me, but she's not feeling good at the moment. So I told her, honey, you stay home and I'll take care of it. This is called Revival Medley. Three messianic songs that talk about from Scripture praising God and being in revival. You just lift your hands and praise God as I sing it.
Revival is in the land.
It's an honor to be here. As I mentioned, I am a Messianic Jewish brother, found Jesus in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania when I was 20 years old. A year later, found a spirit-filled church and went off to Bible school. I got saved when I was 20, and I just turned 22 when I went off to Bible school. I'd gone 2 years to college before I was saved, transferred what I could, and then went to college, transferred from one Bible school to another because of my theater down in Texas, and graduated there and went on to Jewish ministry. Met my wife in Jewish ministry. I was directing a music and drama team, traveled across the country, and my wife joined the group. She was raised in Macon, Georgia, and it's been she and I for the last 40 years. She and I in Jesus. As I mentioned, I like to bring out the Jewish roots of the gospel. Today, before I give you the scriptures, you're going to hear things you never heard before. Glory to God. Get ready for obstacles in your life to be removed. Things blocking your blessing. Situations where you need a miracle. Your miracle is now. I'm going to start in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, the last verse. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. This 28th verse of Isaiah 44 is the very first mention of a man named Cyrus. Some people call him Cyrus. And he is mentioned 150 years before he was born. He's one of seven individuals in Scripture who were mentioned before they were born. Two of the others is John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. So Cyrus held an important position. The Lord prophesied how he had used Cyrus 150 years before he was born. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, the Lord is so wonderful. The introduction is verse 28, the last part of chapter 44. It says, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasure. That means overflow miracles. Saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. It's prophesying before they were ever, they being Israel, taken into 70 years captivity to Babylon because of their extreme rebellion against God. God had already planned they were going to be doing this. About 100 years later, when Cyrus was born, glory to God, actually 150 years later, and then when he was 50 years old, this took place. Oh, God is so good. He raised him up to overthrow the king of Persia. You see, Persia overtook Babylon, and they held the Jewish people. And he wanted to bring the Israelites back to the land. But the people who had lived there for 70 years raised up all the gold and silver and everything they could find and bribed the king of Persia to keep the Jews out, even though the foundation of the new temple had already been built. God was saying, I'm going to raise you up, Cyrus, and you're going to, with my anointing, overthrow that king. God is raising up an anointing in every one of you. The scripture is so good. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue the nations before him and to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I'm just going to read the first part of verse 2. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. In the late 40s, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. It's just a miracle. Arab shepherd boys who had lost two sheep went looking for them, and they saw caves halfway up the mountains and the hills. They began to throw rocks in and heard things shatter. They went up there and found old scrolls that were written 150 years before Jesus was born, by a group called the Essenes. They were an ultra-Orthodox group that God told them, save the scriptures. So they recorded the Old Testament scriptures in the ancient biblical Hebrew. And when they were discovered, they translated them with the King James Version, which was the main version in the late 40s and early 50s. And they found out the ancient Hebrew matched up just about word for word with the King James Version, then later the New King James and all that, except for one verse. One verse was written a little bit different in the ancient Hebrew. That is verse 2, when God says, "Hallelujah, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight." The original ancient Hebrew said, "I will go before you and I will level out the mountains." Now both are saying the same thing. In the King James and New King James, when it says make the crooked places straight, the Hebrew word there for places also means roads, meaning there were crooked roads because there were mountains and obstacles and boulders and things like that in the middle. But in the ancient Hebrew, it cut right to the chase. I will level the mountains. The Hebrew for that literally means just demolishing it to dust. You will walk over the mountains, the obstacles, anything holding back the blessings that are for you. I'm going to continue this and show you where it comes to pass in Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, the fourth chapter. But right now, I want you to lift your hand towards the TV set or wherever you're seeing this. And in Jesus' name, God's telling me, hallelujah, the obstacles in your life are being removed now in Jesus' name. There are obstacles that's trying to hold back your financial victory. I come against them in Jesus' name. Reach out and agree with me. Your miracle is now. He's leveling out the mountains. And I want to say, in the later translations, they changed it to level out the mountains, shattering it to dust. I love what the original Hebrew says. Praise God. And in Jesus' name, blessings are coming your way. Continue to tithe. Jesus said, as you give, it shall be given unto you. You don't give to get. You give because you want to bless the churches, bless missions. Hallelujah. Bless those who need it. And I'll tell you, the overflow will come back to you. But I rebuke every obstacle right now that has tried to hold back your finances, your blessings, and everything you are in Jesus' name. Let's skip over to the fourth chapter of Zechariah. This is 200 years later, because they're getting ready to come back and then the king stops them. Hallelujah. And then Zechariah is speaking forth in the first. Let me go to the third chapter, the first two verses. He's talking about what the angel of the Lord was showing him. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest. This is not the same Joshua that took over from Moses. This man is hundreds of years later, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? This was old covenant days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God chose Jerusalem to be filled with the Israeli people praising him. If you've got Jesus in your heart, God has chosen you to bless others, to praise the Lord, to walk in health. Hallelujah. To be blessed financially. People coming to your life that are giving you favor. And I'll say this, obstacles that in the old King James word says, mountains, sometimes mountains, as it was translated in the Hebrew, can be people who are just in your way and don't need to be there. I come against them now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 4. Now the angel who talked with me, the first verse, came back and wakened me. as a man who was wakened out of sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" He says, "I'm looking at a lampstand of solid gold." He goes on, and in verse 3, talks about two olive trees standing there. But the heaviness is in verse 6. Hallelujah. Well, look at verse 5. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord talked with me and answered to me after he saw this vision, 'Do you not know what these things are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel,'" which was the prophet, "'not by might nor by power,'" you've heard this, "'but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Do you remember what I said? The translation in Isaiah 45 says, hallelujah, "level out the mountains." Here it's being translated that way and coming to pass. Verse 7, "Who are you, O great mountain?" The mountain at that time, I talked about people, was the king of Persia. They called him Darius, one of the names given to him. He was standing in the way of God's people going back to that holy land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God already rebuked Satan. Whatever obstacles are standing in your way from total healing, reach out and receive your healing, as I said, in Jesus' name. Your financial victory, reach out and receive it. God wants you blessed right now. Hallelujah. You know, his word said he's given his angels charge over us. I charge the ministering spirits for your sake. Everyone watching, reach out again to go forth and bring in the financial miracle that belongs to them right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. "Who are you?" In verse 7, "O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." Isaiah 45:2 says, "level out the mountains." It's being repeated here in the Hebrew, a plain where it's leveled, and you'll walk all over the obstacles that tried to stop you. Hallelujah. "And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts. Grace, grace shall be unto it." Verse 9, the hands. Well, the first part of verse 8 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying," verse 9, "the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." Your hands have started miracle work. You're praying over your children, your grandchildren, friends who you know that are like family. God sees and hears every word. Stand on that word. Praise God. Believe that the greater one lives in you. 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he who lives in you." We're in new covenant times. We've got the Spirit of God in our hearts that raised Jesus from the dead. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. I'm reminded of a miracle that took place the early days of my ministry. I was directing a music and drama group for a large organization, and we traveled and we ministered to people. It was a town called Prince Frederick, Maryland. A Sunday morning service after we had sung and we began ministering. I wanted to pray for everybody that needed a miracle. One man was totally healed from pain in his head in the front and back from something that fell on his head at work 2 weeks earlier. I thought the service was over, and a precious lady, part of the group was staying with, pulled up a young lady who was 27 years old at the time. Her first name was Nanette. She was wheelchair bound, had 5 incurable diseases, the worst being multiple sclerosis and epilepsy. Well, glory to God. I was fairly new in the ministry then. We're going back to the late 70s. And I went down to pray for her. The presence of God was all over. And they introduced me, and I said, as the moment I knelt down beside the wheelchair, a lot of people left the church now. Church had been dismissed. Her husband left because he didn't want to see her disappointed. The moment I knelt down beside her, God gave me a vision. And I saw her in the hospital room. And I saw her reaching out and talking to somebody about a specific subject. And I said, "Nanette, God is showing me something, and I wanted to say it quick because I was new to visions and I didn't want to forget it. And I told her what I saw her saying to this person. Her face lit up. And I prayed for her, grabbed her hand. Those around were praying. As we were praying, and I speak honestly, I saw she and I, and she saw too, go up and meet Jesus at the top of the church building. He put an arm around each of us and told us his power was there. And then he said, it's time to go back. And we went back into our bodies. And while we were in the air, I could see both our bodies talking and praising God. All of a sudden, we opened our eyes and I said, Nanette, I want you to stand on God's word. She said, get me God's word, I'll stand on it. Before we could find a Bible, the lady that pulled her up said, go ahead, stand up. She grabbed a hold of my left forearm, grabbed a hold of the side of the wheelchair, stood up, let go for the first time in about 7-8 years. She was able to stand, not holding on. And she began to walk. And then she began to jump and leap and shout and spin in circles. 100% healed. The group I was directing at the time was called the Psalms of David. Me and another gentleman came up with the name because we sang scripture songs. Glory to God, she had a specialist who was Jewish. And she went to see him afterwards to verify it. He says, I've never seen anything like this. She kept in touch with us. I still have pictures of that day. She kept in touch with us and told us the doctor couldn't believe it in the natural, but he said, I have to believe it because something supernatural took place. Glory to God. She said, what do you recommend now? He said, do you have a Bible? She said, of course. He said, just start reading scripture. Start with the Psalms. The Psalms of David, I heard they're very good. Glory to God. That's one of many miracles we've seen throughout the country. Getting a hold of God's word. And in the name of Jesus, I want to show you a scripture in Ephesians, the first chapter, that God wanted me to end with on this teaching. Starting in verse 16, the Apostle Paul cites a prayer the Holy Ghost is giving him to pray for the children of Ephesus. But it's for all of us, because these were written through the power of the Holy Ghost. And he says in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The last part of the prayer is in verse 19, and I want to jump to it. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? To us, to the Ephesians, to him, and it's for us. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He was saying, you deserve, as believers, resurrection power. Reach out and receive it. I want to say this as we're closing. If you don't know Jesus, pray with me right now. If you're not sure you're saved, pray with me right now. Whether you call him Jesus in English, Yeshua in Hebrew, the name he was called in the Old Testament, pray right now. Father God, repeat after me. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to die for me. I believe Jesus died on the cross to take away my sins and that you rose from the dead on the third day. Hallelujah. I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins. Hallelujah. And be my Lord and personal Savior. If you said that prayer with me, you're a new person in Christ Jesus. Or maybe you just needed to recommit yourself. You're still a new person in Christ Jesus. My address and phone number will be given. I have a new book called Meditating on God's Word. It's yours. Get a hold of us. It only costs $20, and that covers mailing it, everything, meditating on God's word for victory. I take apart when God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word. It was the first five books back then. That Hebrew word for meditate means three things. To think about it, to visualize it like a movie, like greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world, and to say it softly, to mutter it. Others don't need to go. Deke Silverman, the address and phone number is coming next. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for watching the show today. Praise God. And I pray it ministered to you. I was talking about the book, Meditating on God's Word for Victory. Our address is coming up now. If you're making out any check, or if you want to give, because we've been supporting missions in Israel for over 30 years, for over 8 years, besides supporting the Messianic works, we've been feeding Holocaust survivors. We need a miracle financially. Praise God. Just make the check out to our ministry, Psalms of David. There's the address. There's the phone number. If you have any Jewish questions, give me a call. It was an honor, and I'll be coming back next week with another word to bless you. God bless.